on this week's show. Battling on two fronts, but this weekend it's the FA Vars that takes precedence. For Deal Town boss Steve King.
The excitement between now and Saturday is going to be real, and look, we're two ties away, three football matches away from playing at Wembley, and if you're involved in non-league football and that doesn't excite you, then you probably need to do something else with your time, to be honest.
Back in the National League South, after more than a decade, we catch up with new Dartford manager Aidy Pennock.
Everyone's got to be positive. You know, we're in a situation we are. We've got 11 games now, and we've got 11 games to get out of the situation we're in, and it's going to be very difficult.
And trying to find positives as his side stay rooted to the foot of the table, we're from Dover boss Jake LaBerle.
We're giving these boys a chance. There's not many teams at this level that do, and you know, maybe that's our downfall, but what more can we do?
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Kent Only Podcast, sponsored by Sandwich Town Youth FC. The weather was the winner by and large at the weekend, but we've still got three interviews for you to enjoy this week, including a man with eyes on Wembley and the new Dartford manager. I'm John Fitch, had a period over the weekend where I seemingly lost the plot. And online now is my good friend, a man who's seldom late for anything. Yeah, he's been late for this week's show. What have you been up to, Matt Gerrard?
I've had a busy day. Well, you know what I was been doing earlier, but I'm not going to get involved in that. But I've got a crazy week this week. Just various things are going on. So I've got to have two fill-ins tomorrow as well, which is a real blow. Yeah. So that's not good with my bloody teeth issues. So so it's just one of those crazy times, getting time to do the pod, mate. But I've cleared my busy diary this week. And here we are again for another episode of excitement.
Well, you drive steady on the way to and from the dentist, yeah?
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks, mate.
Okay, good. I thought I'd lost the plot over the weekend. So on Friday, I went up to Fees, as is normally the case. And we were going out on Saturday in London. I had a nice shirt all prepared, all ironed and everything like that, ready to go. Left that in the wardrobe. Then I went and then...
Well, you didn't go bare-chested, I hope.
No, I had to go and buy a new shirt before we went out on Saturday. So... If that's not living the dream, then I don't know what is. It was also raining, and I found out that I can make it from Fees House to the shopping centre in 12 minutes on foot, which isn't too...
It's an expensive shirt.
It was just from Next, so...
Would you wear it again, though? Was it?
Yes. It was nice. It's red, sort of checked. I like a checked shirt. So the other one I was going to bring was red and checked, but this one's slightly different. So I did actually buy two, but I took the other one back. And then I had an absolute nightmare in the early hours of Saturday morning. So gone to bed, as you do. Took a drink with me, just in case I woke up in the night and I was thirsty. And then about up past two, I had a dream. This isn't Martin Luther King. I apologise, everybody. It's not that profound. But I had a dream that we were out somewhere and I was paying for something. I don't know what I was paying for. I can't remember anything about it. But I was proudly showing Fee that I could pay with my phone. And I went, oh, I've never done this before. And then obviously in my dream, I pushed my hand out to pay using my phone and the card machine and knocked the drink everywhere. Oh. And I hadn't even had a sip out of it. So it was a full glass, like a pint glass of cherries and berry squash. No, just all over the bedside cabinet and all over the carpet. So, and you know, not the nicest wake up call in the world for my favourite teacher. She sprung into action and was very good at cleaning it up very quickly. Well, I just went and got things and just kind of got out of the way. But I felt shocking.
That takes you about 3 hours to get back to sleep after something like that.
I was all right. But then, to make matters even worse, I spilled a pint on Saturday night.
Did somebody push you into it, as in... Wait, my pint, mate.
No, I was sat at a table in a pub, and then I just moved my hand and knocked my glass over.
Have you? Well, that was clever. Price of pints, mate. That is a waste.
Well, exactly. One of the good things is it wasn't one of my super expensive craft beers. It was a pint of neck oil, and I'd had at least half of it, so it wasn't that bad. But the funniest bit was I went over to the barmaid, and I was like, "I'm really sorry. I'm going to need like a towel or something." And she gave me two small napkins, and I went, I think I'm probably going to need more than that because I've just kind of knocked my pint everywhere. She went, oh, and then just sort of came over and cleared it up. So
if you knocked anything over to stop things coming threes, mate, you don't want to...
Well, I'm hoping that the shirt was the third thing. So forgetting the shirt and knocking two drinks over. So I'm hoping that's my hat trick.
That's what love does to you, mate, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I never used to knock things over before. So, not my finest. What else have you been up to? Anything else? Have you knocked anything over?
Not intentionally.
Well, as long as your speed's okay.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, not a great deal, mate, to be honest. I'm just busy with other things in life at the minute. So it's just, nothing. I'm going to see Six on Friday at the Marley.
Amazing.
I've seen it before, and we're going again because it was so good last time. So looking forward to that. So even though my good friend Tom went, and he didn't really like it, but he doesn't really like many things, so
well,
like that. But he goes a lot, but he didn't think it was good, but his girlfriend did. So, but yeah, it's a good show, so we're looking forward to that. So.
Excellent. Well, enjoy that very much. Yeah, it's our 287th episode this week, and I found some really exciting products. The Fluke 287 True RMS Electronics Logging Multimeter, a Konica printer, and the Junkers Jude 287, which was a tactical jet bomber built in Nazi Germany in 1944. Now, I didn't read too much into it, but I'm guessing that it was the most successful plane, given its arrival very late to a losing cause. 287 is also the number of international matches managed by Bora Milutinovic, the most of any international boss. I don't know if you remember, he used to get to the World Cup with random countries.
Didn't he have five teams?
Amazing. And that's a full 120 games fewer than the Skefel Bielsa has managed. It would be 121, but I'm not actually sure if tonight's game, when he has a stadium ban, counts or not. Right, let's get on with the show, and let's start with the FA Vars, where Deal Town head to Lincoln on Saturday for their quarter-final cash with United Counties Premier Division North Side Lincoln United. Relegated last season, United are second in their league and, like the Hoops, are pushing for promotion. That all means it's going to be an exciting tie. And early on today, I spoke to Deal boss Steve King, starting with talking about their back-to-back wins in the Skefel at VCD and Kennington this week.
Yeah, huge week for us. Obviously, we knew we had a run of away games coming up, and after the disappointment of losing the second leg of the semi-final last week, like I said, I think that's our first defeat since October. Two tough away games could have been a time where we slipped up, but it's been two professional performances, two clean sheets, which was massive for us, having conceded four last Tuesday, and 6 points on the board before a really big weekend. So, yeah, look, we've got 14 league games to play, and we've now got nine of them at home. So we've done a lot of our travelling. We've only got five more journeys to go. So, it was a really important week.
I suppose the thing is, you know, having to bounce back and then go to those away games, it shows that you've got to keep the focus going every single game, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've got a very committed group of players. They're fully invested in what we're trying to do, but your character does get tested, and we were disappointed, especially to lose last minute at Erith. Looked like it was going to go to penalties, so that was a bit of a sucker punch for us, and then to go away from home again twice, and to win pretty comfortably in both games eventually shows a mentality, and that's a real positive from our point of view, especially as we know we've got a big Vars game on Saturday. It would have been easy for people to have one eye on that, but we haven't. We've been fully focused on the league, and we've only started talking about Saturday this morning.
How do you manage to keep that focus on the league and the next game? Because obviously, as you've just said, Saturday is a massive day for the club.
Yeah, because I think we fell 1 point short last year. I don't think we were ever talked about in it last year, but we ended up coming very close. And I think we pinpointed at the end of the season, when we went in our first meeting in this pre-season, we pinpointed games last year that cost us. And it wasn't games against the teams at the top. It was where we dropped silly points against teams in the bottom half, especially away from home. So we only have to mention a couple of those results and what hurt us. Kennington, ironically, was one of those last year. We dropped points at Kennington. Like I say, we ended up 1 point short of a playoff place. I think what happened last year, that's the benefit of keeping a lot of players together. They've experienced the hurt, the disappointment, and it drives you on. Ultimately, yes, the Vars is massive, but this group of players want to try and get the club promoted, and that's our real focus.
That is your focus, of course. But on Saturday, it's all eyes on the FA Vars and Lincoln United. I understand you've had them watched a couple of times. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, it's going to be away from home. Team that are flying high in their league. It's going to be incredibly tough. We've done our homework as ever. We've had somebody at their last three games, so we know everything that we can know. They're not in absolutely sparkling form at the minute, which is a small positive for us. They obviously lost on Saturday and dropped points last night, but you don't get, they come in the early round because they were relegated last year. So I think they've won 8 or 9 rounds to get to where they are. And you don't do that without being a very, very strong side. And on their own patch, it's going to be incredibly difficult. But look, we've lost one game of football since October. That was with a weakened side at Erith Town last week. And we go there confident.
The fact that they're flying high in their league as well, that must help a little bit. Because if you're playing a team that was mid-table and all of their eyes are on the Vars, that might be a bit more challenging, I suppose, because they would just be all fully focused on going for that. But Lincoln, like yourselves, are in a promotion battle.
Yeah, 100%. Look, that hurt us last year with Punjab. They spent sort of 3 or 4 weeks preparing for our Kent Senior Trophy final, leaving players out, getting themselves ready, and we were going Saturday, Tuesday, all the way up to it. Lincoln are the same boat of ourselves. They're still in 4 competitions, I think. We're obviously down to 2 now, having been knocked out of the League Cup. So, yeah, I don't think that either side's going to have an advantage in that respect, but the fact that they're still in 4 competitions shows clearly the strength of their side. So would I have preferred somebody who was 15th in their league? Yeah, probably, even if they had 3 or 4 weeks to prepare for it. But I think we're both in the same boat. We both had to play last night. We both had difficult games on Saturday. So I don't think either side's going to have an advantage in terms of their preparation.
And I suppose you're going up Friday again, are you, and doing it the right way?
Yes, yeah, we'll be, we've got a tried and tested method now. We've done sort of Friday travel 4 or 5 times in the last couple of seasons. So we'll be leaving Friday afternoon, aiming to get to Lincoln sort of 7 o'clock-ish, settle down for an evening meal, have a team meeting, and then get ready to go on Saturday without having to worry about any dramas of travel or delays or anything like that. So yeah, we'll be giving ourselves every possible chance. To obviously try and win the game on Saturday.
The last date of the Vars is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. I'm excited this morning. So any people who know me really well know that when I do these interviews, I don't lie when I say that it's one game at a time and I don't look ahead. I genuinely work like that. Until last night was over, we hadn't discussed it as a group. We had a meeting actually after the game in the changing rooms at Kennington to start the work with some of the information that we know and some of our plans. And I woke up this morning with a massive buzz. And the excitement between now and Saturday is going to be real. And look, we're 2 ties away, 3 football matches away from playing at Wembley. And if you're involved in non-league football and that doesn't excite you, then you probably need to do something else with your time, to be honest.
It's always a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because you'd love to go to Wembley, but also you don't want to be in the Vars next season, do you? So it's almost like you kind of have to sit there and say, is this our one chance to get to Wembley because we want to get promoted as well?
Yeah, that, to be honest, I don't know if you had a camera in our meeting last night, but that was one of the main messages, which was sort of like, if we're going to achieve our main goal this season to get promoted, for the majority of our players, considering they're loyal, they stick with the club, they'll probably never have this opportunity to play, to do it again. You're not going to get to Wembley in the FA Trophy final as a step 4 side. So look, if we do end up, and let me be really clear, we've still got an awful lot of work to do to try and get promoted, and an awful lot of work. But if we did get promoted, this is probably the boys' last chance, and we've had an affinity with the competition quite clearly. So that is a motivation for us. I'm not going to lie, we made substitutions during the game last night when we felt comfortable to look after some key players. Just trying to give ourselves the best possible chance without damaging our league campaign.
When you get to this stage of the competition, do you get messages of support from other managers in this division, trying to cheer you up and hoping that you go all the way?
Yeah, the support's been outstanding. Everybody that I've spoken to in the league, VCD on Saturday, Kennington last night, lots and lots of well wishes. I think that quite lucky as a club, we're quite well respected. I think a lot of clubs look at us and see that we've, if you can do things the right way, in inverted commas, but we've tried to build the club, we've tried to build a squad. And I think a lot of people in Kent football want us to go on and do well. If it was another scaffold side in that boat, we'd certainly be supporting them. And yeah, we've had a lot of support and it has been really appreciated.
And we've seen other scaffold sides go close. Obviously, we saw Cray Valley get to the final a few years ago, Tunbridge Wells, although that's, 11 years ago now. But, you know, to go all this way with a league battle as well, it's a lot on your plate, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what you want. Obviously, if you'd asked me at the start of the season, would we be chatting in March about a Vars quarter final and trying to balance it with a promotion campaign, I would have bitten your hand off quite clearly. But, I mean, it's a new experience. Luckily, I know, obviously, managers that have got to the latter rounds of the Vars. Obviously, Michael Golding at Corinthian. Better make sure I mention him with Vars runs. They got to the semi-final whilst top of the league. Ben Smith was obviously at Canterbury, I know very well, when they lost to Cray Valley in the semi-finals. So there's some people that I've sort of drawn on and just spoken to for little bits of advice, but you just sort of have to do it your own way and go with your gut. I think anybody who's seen the way we've approached VCD and anybody who saw us at Kennington last night will know that we haven't taken any eye off our league form. For our effort levels, our running data, our physical output's been outstanding in both of those games. While still trying to be as professional as we can and prepare for Saturday and send our scouts off and do everything we can. So I'm hoping we've got the balance right, but we'll know that come the end of April, May. Obviously not, I don't think we'll be judged by whether we win the Vars, but obviously let's hope that the Vars run doesn't have a negative impact on our final league position. That's for the future. We're just doing the best we can at the minute.
So you've got 14 league games to play. If you get through in the Vars as well, that's another two. It's going to be a lot of football. And I know you said you've got 9 at home. Actually, had a game called off quite close to kickoff the other day. So might it be a problem with the pitch later on down the line when there's a lot of football to be played on it?
No, we expect the pitch to be fine from now. It's just been the ridiculous wet weather. Clearly it's going to get warm, but the pitch is actually not in awful condition at the minute. We've just had so much rain, and do you know what I mean? As you see, like all the grass pitches on the Kent coast, Hive have struggled with the same problem. Even Folkestone, who very rarely have games called off, have struggled recently. Look, there's going to be a lot of football on it, but that the games will be played, and we'll have to adapt to the surface. I've tried to build a squad that can play in different ways. We played at VCD on an absolute carpet, played on the lovely new 3G or 4G at Ashford last night. We can play in those conditions, but we also know we can mix it like we had to at Bridgewater and at home sometimes on really difficult pitches. So whatever we're faced with between now and the end of the season, we'll deal with. We can't control the amount of games we've got to play. I'm pleased that we've got 9 home games. Our home record is very strong. So I'd much prefer to have 9 at home and 5 away rather than the other way round. When we get back to those league games on Tuesday, we'll be looking forward to it.
You say that you don't look at the league table. When will you start looking? And, you know, does anything else affect the target that you're setting your team at the moment?
I will correct a slight fallacy on that because I've taken a lot of stick for saying I don't look at a league table. What I probably should have said was I don't worry about league positions because clearly we look at the league table to know what our points target is, what other teams are doing, but we certainly never worry about whether we're top, second, third, fourth, or fifth, sixth. So I've taken a little bit of stick when people say, well, you must have looked at a league table. Obviously, I've looked at a league table, but what I don't get drawn into is league positions and this, that, or the other, because we use the league table to set a target. I've got a number in my head that I think will win scaffold this year. If another side goes on an unbelievable run and wins all their games, that might have to be adjusted, but we're working towards a target I set probably in November. And if we can get there, then we'll be hopeful of winning the league. And that's what we work on. So I do look at the league table, don't get me wrong. I know how many points other teams have got, clearly. But I don't worry about whether we've dropped to fourth or go to second or whether we're third or go top, because until all the games are played out, and like I say, whether teams have got a certain amount of home games, away games, whether they've got lots of teams, games against the top six or the bottom six, that can have such big impact. Somebody told me when Erith beat us, I had a bit of an argument with somebody that I know when they said, oh, it's disappointing to lose to Erith Town, and I think we're ninth or eighth before we started our semi-finals. And I said, yeah, but just understand that they're probably the strongest team at home in our league, along with Corinthian. They've only lost twice at home. And I think at that point, they had about 12 home, 13 home games left, something silly. They're averaging nearly 4 goals a game at home. So Erith Town are 100% getting the playoffs, and they'll be a real threat. So just to correct my don't look at the league table, I know that mattered a little chirp at me after the last time we spoke, but it is more about the positions rather than actually not looking at it.
And let's just hope finally that at 4:47 on Saturday afternoon you're celebrating, Steve.
Yeah, look, that's the dream, isn't it? The dream is that things go to plan, we win the game, and that come Monday we're waiting for a VARS semi-final draw. That's what we want. If not, then we'll refocus and we'll focus on trying to get a job done in the league. But let's hope it's a good day.
A big game, Matt, and a big couple of months ahead for Deal Town.
Yeah, we said 14 league. I was trying to work it out, the 21-team game league earlier, how many games they played. So 14 league games, could be 3 more FA VARS games. Running into good form. Lincoln United, for me, they seem to have been up the pyramid, so they must have gone down the pyramid a bit. So they've seemed to be a Bostic team for a while, you know, aside. So I've heard of Lincoln United. So, again, Steve King, be well-drilled. You'll know what they're like. Can they do it? They're in a very good position to be an unbelievable season. A couple of cracking wins in the league the last 2 weeks, the last 2 games. Back-to-back clean sheets, which I think he'll be delighted about. They should, from this position, going on the previous one, win the league from where they are, I would have thought. Can they do the double and get to Wembley as well? Up in the land of the gods, but they'll be well organised, and I can see why not. They can't do it. This could be Deal's year after that. 24 years ago being at Wembley, they could do it again, which a phenomenal achievement. I don't think they've got anything to fear playing Lincoln United. So why not, John? Why not? Can't they get to Wembley?
I think that's an issue, is it? We don't know much about the United Counties Premier Division North and how strong that league actually is. But I've kind of had a look around and I get the feeling it may not be the strongest league, but they're a team in form. Well, although they've had a couple of dodgy results lately, but they're a team near the top of their league. So they will have some confidence. And I'm sure, like Steve King, they've got the attitude of, we don't want to be at this level again. This is our chance to get to Wembley and go for it. And home advantage may play a part for Lincoln at this one. But if you win that, then you can start to really dream, can't you? And, you know, looking at the teams that are left in the competition, Falmouth's the longest trip, I think, that would be left of any of the other teams. You've got Emily as well are in there, I think. But you know what? I think it's a good opportunity. All those really strong northern teams that used to dominate this competition, they're not there anymore. There's no one from those leagues. You know, it's wide open. And I think, you know, it is almost a bit of potluck on Saturday because you don't know what you're going to get. But we know that Deal Town are a very good side. And if they play at their very best, then I think it will be difficult for Lincoln United.
Looking back, Lincoln have won the last 2 games, beaten South Liverpool and Hallam on penalties. So normally, I think you saw these sides at this level, if they're standing out, they beat sides, I would say. I know Deal got through on penalties last round, but that was probably the difficult tie they could probably get. So, we seem to think that the Scaffold is a very competitive league compared to other leagues. And I think that deal have got a very good chance at Lincoln. If they play to the best of their abilities, clearly they're on good form with the results of Blue, particularly away from home. I think they've got a very good chance here. And I think it will be such a phenomenal achievement to do that and where the club has gone. And for Kingy, he'll be very, very excited. He sounded confident in that interview, John, you know, because I know we've spoken to him before the last round. That was a flip of the coin, we thought, wasn't it? How it would go. And it worked in Deal's favour. To me, he sounded confident that Lincoln United are there to be beaten. And again, I don't know what the ground is like or the pitch will be like, but I think it's a good draw. It's not too far to get to Lincoln. It's a bit of a pain, but I think they'll take going numbers and hopefully they'll come back being in the semi-final for the two-legged semi-final, which will be a phenomenal achievement for Deal Town.
Absolutely. It'd be fantastic. So massive good luck to them. And what about this title race then? He did clarify there that he does look at the league table, and who's there. And I kind of always got that. But, you know, as he says there, he doesn't worry about everybody else. He just worries about Deal Town. And he's got in his head how many points he thinks they need to win the league. And, you know, he probably thinks that anyone else who gets above that target he's got in his head has done brilliantly. So, you know, they're doing great, Deal. And it is a real success story, isn't it? They've been fantastic the last few years. They've just built their way up steadily and done it the right way. You know, they get good crowds in and everything seems to be going in the right direction off the pitch. And on the pitch, they're performing as well. They've got good experienced players in there. They've got a real focused bunch as well, because, you know, it's not easy to go to VCD in Kennington when you've got this Vars game looming. And I think that's absolute credit to Steve King and his players. They've come back from that for 6 points.
How many points do you reckon he thinks you need? 14 games to go. 90 points, maybe. 2 points a game for the rest of the season. That'll give him 89. I think that, yeah. Win your home games, which he's got a lot of, which is interesting what he said, that was pleasing for him. Win, draw your away games. Yeah, probably needs 10 wins out of 14. And I'm talking to say the title's theirs.
I think as well with all those home games, it's momentum, isn't it? And you know, people go and watch Deal in numbers. And I think that if they're winning games of football and they keep on going, you know, then there's no reason why they can't just go all the way. You know, I think they've still got to play Glebe. They've got to go to Corinthian as well. I think they've got to go to Whitstable as well. So there's no gimmies in it. Well, there's no gimmies anyway in this division. But all Deal Town can do is keep winning games of football. And, you know, when you've got all these games in hand, you know, if you win all your games, you will be winning the league. But it is unrealistic to expect to win every game from here. So, you know, it is one of those, isn't it, whereby you you have to give it your all. And
you can look the other way. If they go out of the Vars on Saturday to penalties or whatever, how they bounce back as well. And again, that showed good character when they went out of the cup the previous week and they bounced back. So they've got the eyes on the prize. One would be unbelievable. If he won the league, that would probably be what he wanted at the start of the season. To get to two makes it a memorable season for them. So,
I think he either said it in there or he said it. We were chatting afterwards. He said, but if you'd said to me at the start of the season in March, we'd be sitting here talking about being in with a shout of winning the league and being in the Vars quarterfinals, I'd have snapped your hand off. So now they've got themselves into that position. They've just got to get over the line.
Yeah, but it's in their own hands, isn't it? Clearly, they know if they win enough football games, they will be promoted. So, and Wembley's such a big thing in the horizon as well. You come this far, you don't want to lose. So they'll go up there with confidence. They'll be well organised. They'll know the opposition. I'm more confident than I was in the previous round, John, from what we found out about. The team they played in the previous round because they were a good team.
Yeah, they
were a good team. Look at it. I'm confident they can beat Lincoln and we'll go from there. But the title race is if Corinthian, I think they're winning, aren't they? At Lid 1-0.
They're 2-0 up now. There's just been a second goal and Lid are down to 10 men as well. So Corinthian looking good to get another 3 points there. And it does make this division so tight up there. And, you know, these teams are almost going blow for blow at the moment. And I think that's absolutely phenomenal. You know, that there's no getting away from it. And you've got to give full credit. I mean, obviously give full credit to Steve King and Deal, and full credit to Faversham, who are in a bit of form at the moment. But do you know what? You've got to take your hats off to both Glebe and Corinthians, yeah, because I don't think either of those teams were particularly well fancied. Glebe have just been on a great run, and I think everyone's waiting for them to slip up, but it just hasn't happened. And Corinthian, you know, they just can't stop winning at the moment. And yeah, I know, so this will be four league wins in a row if they hold on here. They've scored 73 goals, which is the joint second most in the division. And you think at last season, all the problems they had scoring goals, they've got the third best defence, in the division. And they're just going great guns. And Michael Godwin's doing an amazing job there, because, you know, no one is backing them. And you know, he will play it down, or we're not title contenders. But they are banging this title race now, because they just keep winning games of football. It's just when things catch up with the teams, how you cope with it. And you wonder who's the best one to cope with an injury crisis or losing a couple of games. And that's probably going to be the telling point come the end of the season.
Yeah, and I believe, Sasti, how it works for Deal could be the deciding part of the season. If they go out, there's a confidence drop. And they, or probably King, you'll have them back on the horse. But yeah, big week in the scaffold in the Vars could be a play a big part to see where the title goes. But a fantastic title race, and really exciting times ahead. So we'll see how it goes.
Absolutely.
I'm confident. I've got putting me neck on the line. I expect Deal to be in the semi-final on Monday, or the draw on Monday.
All I can say is massive good luck to Steve and everyone at Deal. And, you know, hopefully come next week, we'll be talking about the semi-finals, and it'll be an absolutely amazing opportunity for them. But yeah, good luck up there on Saturday. We're all behind you. Just two games survived the weather in the scaffold on Saturday. The aforementioned 3-0 win for Deal, joined by a victory by the same score for Corinthian at Kennington. And Tuesday night, the other Hoops also won 3-0 at Kennington. Erith Town twice came from behind before beating Fisher 5-2. And Faversham left it late before beating Stansfeld 2-0. We just heard the latest from that Lynn against Corinthian game. I'll try and bring you the final score for that one.
3-0 now.
Is it 3-0? Well, I think Corinthian will be confident of holding on for the 3 points there.
Yeah.
Who needs Michael Golden? That's all I can say to that. Corinthian are at home to Snodland on Saturday. It's Glebe against Bearsted, Hollands of Blair against Erith Town, Holmesdale against Kennington, Sutton Athletic against Lidtown, Tunbridge Wells are at home to Lordswood. It's VCD Athletic against Rustall, Whitstable against Fisher. And then on Tuesday night, it's Deal Town against Lordswood, Erith Town against Snodland, Punjab United take on Hollands and Blair. It's Rustall against Corinthian, Tunbridge Wells against Faversham, and Wellington are at home to Kennington. A big game down the foot of the table there. In the First Division, K-Sports, who confirmed this week that their future is, as we reported, to be Sheppey Sports, based at Holm Park on the island. Lost 2-0 to the leaders AFC White with both goals in the last 2 minutes.
Are they changing their name, are they?
They are. They're changing their name to Sheppey Sports, and they will be playing as expected at Home Park in Sheppey from next season.
So there'll be a link between the two, so players can go between...
Absolutely. Well, they have been anyway, because the managers...
father and son, yeah.
Exactly. The managers at K-Sports are the sons of Ernie Batten, the manager of Sheppey United. And for the last few weeks, at least, a few Sheppey players, when their games have been off, have been playing on dual reg for K Sports. So it kind of makes sense. I saw someone saying this is a bit like what happened with Wimbledon. I can see that point. I can see that frustration. But I think it's been a difficult few years for K Sports. And I think that some stability and a move may be the right thing for them. And with Wellington coming in, K Sports remains being used. So to me, it seems to make sense for all parties. But we will see what happens in the coming weeks. Faversham Strikeforce beat Canterbury City 2-1 on Saturday, and it was 0-0 between Meridian VP and Staples Monarchs. Canterbury then beat K-Sports 2-1 on Tuesday night. Three games going on in that division as we speak, Matt. Faversham Strikeforce currently 2-1 down to Staples Monarchs. It's FC Umstead 1, Forest Hill Park 1. And Croydon 1-0 up at Lewisham Borough. And there's a Surrey Premier Cup game, Matt. And I don't normally care about these things. But Tooting Beck, who are in the Scaffold First Division, are currently losing at home to the Honourable Artillery Company. I mean, they'll be dancing in the streets of the Honourable Artillery Company tonight at that one.
Didn't they not win the FA Cup in 1884?
It sounds like they should have done, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They got to the semi-finals that year.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable run. It was more famous than Maidstone.
Yeah, exactly.
Weekend, Brydon Ropes host Lewisham Borough. It's Canterbury City against Rochester United. Croydon against Meridian VP. Greenways against Faversham Strike Force. Larkford and New Hythe host AFC Whiteleaf. SC Thamesmead against Forest Hill Park, Tooting Beck against FC Elmstead. And on Tuesday night, it's Larkfield and New Hythe against Lewisham Borough. And on Wednesday, it's Croydon against Rochester United. Let's move on up then to the National League South. And our second interview of the week comes from the new man in charge at Dartford. There are plenty of rumours in the build-up to the announcement. And in the end, the man who got the job was former Gillingham defender and boss, as well as ex-Welling United gaffer, if you go back a few years, Adrian Pennock. His first game was due to be against Worthing on Saturday, but the weather put paid to that one. So he's now had the chance to work with his players on the training ground before his first game at the helm, which is at Torquay this weekend. Matt spoke to the new Darts boss earlier this evening.
Well, as you know, obviously I've been working away in Brunei for the last 5 years, and give or take 5 years, I should say, with COVID in between. But yeah, I obviously came home. It was my decision to come back. Obviously, the Dartford job came available. To be fair, I went and watched them. Obviously, Tony Berman obviously was caretaker, and so I thought I'd go and watch them a few times. But it's a club that, I believe is a very good club. So obviously, now I'm involved in it, and foundations are very good. They have good people there. The fan base is excellent. So it was a job that I really wanted, and luckily for me, I got it.
Yeah, you've been in Brunei. You've been successful there. Was it always the hope that you'd come back and get a job back in English football and use the experiences you've learned over there?
Yeah, most definitely. Because obviously, it was obviously different culture, different type of football over there. Great experience. Luckily, we were successful. I'd recommend going abroad to anybody who want to gain experience and different type of football and everything else, and it's a life experience as well. But it was just a decision for myself to come back. My wife and children and grandchildren now. It was important for me to come back for them. So it's obviously the opportunity came about, and I'm so happy that to be at the football club and raring to go.
Yeah, again, your first game was called off. You say you've watched them a few times. I've seen Dartford a few times this season. Yes. We're all shocked after the season they had last year where they are, and I hate to say it, in a bit of a relegation battle. You've met the players. What have you thought thus far? Is it a confidence issue with the players, would you say?
Well, we're down there for a reason, but there's no point pointing fingers at people saying they haven't done this, haven't done that, or they were no good, that he was no good, or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Everyone's got to be positive. You know, we're in a situation we are. We've got 11 games now, and we've got 11 games get out of the situation we're in, and it's going to be very difficult. You know, it's a tough 11 games as well. The mentality obviously is different to, when you're up near the top of the league, it's easier, to be honest with you, because you're going out there and don't have as much pressure. But when you're down the bottom, it's a different pressure, mentality. It's a different mentality down there. And I've been down there in my managerial career a couple of times, and touch wood, we've got out of it. So I've got that experience, as well as obviously get promoted and winning championships. So it's going to be tough, but we need everybody to get away. We need everybody to, sing off the same hymn sheet, and let's get away from that area as soon as possible.
You've been in this level probably, what, maybe 10, 12, even longer than that. What would you say was the quality? Is it a bit different now? Or the sort of level?
No, I was the game was postponed on Saturday. So obviously straight away, that's the first time I met the players on Saturday. I was disappointed, I'll be honest with you, because the way I watched Worthing as well, done my homework on them, and with the conditions, it was going to be obviously very wet and muddy and, difficult, because they are very good football inside. They do pass it out the back. So I thought, yes, get the game on. That would be an advantage to us in a way. But then on the other side of the coin, it gives me two or three training sessions to get used to, them get used to me and me get used to them. I've been so pleased with the players, very chuffed, and they've been taking on board what I want them to do. The intensity is through the roof. So yeah, it's they're in a good place, but it's all about Saturday and a Tuesday. It's all about getting those 3 points and corner our way away from that relegation zone, because as everybody knows, if you look at the table, there's teams with four or five games they played less than us. But, you know, it's all about us. So I do believe it's all about us. And anything can happen, you know, from top to bottom, anybody can beat each other. So we've got to be ready. And like I say, it's 11 FA Cup finals, or should say Cup finals.
Have you managed to bring any coaching staff working alongside you?
No. We keep Craig and Jim. Obviously, everybody knows Jim Stannard. Yeah. So pleased to keep them too. I didn't really want to come in and rock the boat massively because, like I say, I want everybody just to be together and be very positive. I'll be leaning on them. Tony, obviously, Berman has been fantastic. You know, I'll be crazy not to talk to him about players. You know, I want to know everything about the individual players as well as obviously collectively. I've brought in a fitness coach, Neil Withington, who's been with me at other. That's the only coach I'm going to bring in. But we did have a fitness coach at the club, so I thought that was very important. So, yeah, just raring to go and can't wait for that game on against Torquay on Saturday.
Yeah, to be fair, in the space, your first three games, they're pretty tough games. Torquay, I know they've got issues, but they want to prove a few people wrong then. Away at Braintree, the form side in the division then. Big derby, your first home game against Maidstone. So it's a baptism as a fire for you, but I know you'll be raring to go.
Yeah, and don't forget we've got Worthing on the... I think Worthing might be rearranged just after that. So they're second in the league. Yeah. And then we've got Yeovil in the top of the league. It's all about us. You know, obviously we will do our homework on the opposition, but more importantly, it's all about us and... And all the supporters, the supporters at the football club are fantastic. You know, we need them on our side straight away. And as soon as we get some positive results, are better. And they start believing in us and what we're doing. And same as the players, you know, they've been fantastic so far. But it's all about Saturday and a Tuesday for me.
Yeah, Dartford, you know, are a big football club. They struggled being a big player in the National South. And it's been a bit of a shock to the system, I think, being in this position. It's just... Yeah. Lifting them up and then get through this season and go again next season.
Yeah, well, that's the aim. Not looking too far for next season, not at the moment. It's all about now. It is all about now. We can't look too far ahead. You know, we have, I'm sure everybody's surprised that we're down there and we all are. Because it's a very, very good football club. Like I said to you before, the foundations are there, the structure's there, the training facilities are good. The support, I said before, the supports are fantastic. The from top to bottom, from the chairman to the so-called tea lady, that are there, very good people. But the results don't lie. We have to get these results as quick as we can, and get away from that bottom because it'll be tough. It'll be very tough. We know it's going to be tough, but I'm really up for the fight and can't wait to get started.
Yeah, how excited will you be on waking up Saturday morning?
Oh, buzzing, you know me. Oh, I cannot wait, seriously. You know, the training has been good. It's been very good. The boys have been excellent in training. I really can't wait for Saturday because, you know, the last home game, obviously, at Torquay, they've got 7,500 fans there, obviously, because the problems they're having at the moment. So, we've got to keep them quiet and get a positive result, that's for sure.
Well, it's been 5 years away, Matt, although it seems like a lot less than we had him on the radio show, Radio Kent, Matt. Very hungry to get going again at Prince's Park, and he knows his focus now is getting enough points to stay in this division. He's not thinking about anything else, and I think that's a good appointment.
Yeah, I think it is. I saw some of the Dartford fans were a bit miffed that he hadn't been in the game for a while, but from our dealings with AD when he was in Bahrain, when he came over and spoke to us, he's a man who loves his football, knows a lot about football, and he's very successful in Brunei. And he's come back now. I think it's a wise appointment. I know that he kept an eye on the Kent game and the local non-league scene when he's away. And he's got a great opportunity at Dartford. Because if you can get Dartford right, as we saw last season, put it in the right direction. It's just, as he said, for some reason it's gone wrong this year, but we've got to forget about that and go ahead. I think it's a wise appointment, an experienced manager who knows this level, knows Kent, and from what we know, he will give up, standard football cliche, 110% to get Dartford where they are. And I still think Dartford have got enough to avoid the relegation, a relegation threat. So I think pushing in the right direction, getting them a bit more and it's attacking threat, as in try and get something out of the strikers, which they haven't really got at the moment, I think they'll be okay. Tough opening games he's got, to be fair, but hit the ground running. But they'll be organised and resilient, which I think will need to be. Just get in the habit of seeing games out as well, Dartford, because I've seen them a few times this season. They haven't looked particularly great, particularly in the final thirds, but I'm sure AD will get them going. But yeah, I think it's a wise appointment, and in the future, if he can keep up, which I think he probably will, they can look forward in the summer to him bringing his own players in and moving in the right direction.
I think I can understand maybe a little bit of scepticism from the supporters, because he's been out of the English game for a long time. He hasn't managed at this level actually since he left Welling in 2005. Yeah. But actually, I think sometimes coming in with a fresh brush and you know, a complete new start, and he can see that from his own eyes and different, rather than, you know, bringing in loads of players that he just knows. He's not going to be going and raiding Brunei DPMM, is he? You know, he's got to come in and work with what he's got. And I actually think that might be a good thing for Dartford, because he can come in, work on those players that are there who haven't been performing. And I know you've had concerns about them, but also he's a name that can attract players as well. So it does make sense to me. It's a decent signing, I think.
Well, he's got connections as well in the game, which I think always helps from a Dartford point of view. Maybe he can get somebody in just to freshen it up, maybe on loan from a league club. But that's been one of the problems when I was speaking to Dartford players. Dartford, over the last year or so, or a couple of years, the strong turnover of players, constantly players coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And I think maybe AD can give some stability, put your arm around some of these players, which I know are good players, and say, right, we are going to head in the right direction. We're going to be OK. Tough ask against Torquay. Tough ask against Braintree. And a first game in charge against Maidstone. That is absolutely cracking. So, yeah, interesting to see how he gets on. But I think he'd probably want to he'd be pleased they've got playing against sides who've got something to prove as well. If they're against somebody who maybe, you know, didn't have much to play on, I think it could be a less easier time for him. But he'll go in there, big crowd at Torquay, right, and that's a good way to show the players to show what they're made of as well.
Yeah, and if you were to beat Maidstone in that first home game in charge, I'd say he's an instant hero.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's no love between them. But yeah, again, we had heard, I know he said he mentioned a few games, and when I was there a couple of weeks ago, people had seen him. So he'd have done his homework, and maybe that due diligence and experience he's got in the game swayed it for Dartford to give him the chance of the job.
Absolutely. All the rest of our teams did play on Saturday. Tunbridge Angels beat Eastbourne Borough by 2-0. Welling held in-form Braintree to a 2-2 draw. And the other game was a Kent derby. And once all the social media bickering about the TV gantry had been sorted out, it was Maidstone emerged victorious from a soggy crabble, winning by 1-0. I said we've not heard from Dover for a while, but this week Matt has provided a bit of white. So here is their boss, Jake LaBelle.
Probably best to say, beaten by the better side today.
Yeah, I'd say that. Stronger side, definitely. A team that make good decisions in good areas of the pitch consistently. Obviously, play a certain way, and everyone knows their roles and responsibilities. And hard to get at, hard to break down, and difficult to cope with, especially set pieces. And I think the boy up top, Rush, I think he's an absolute handful. And works his socks off, and a really good centre forward.
From your perspective, any positives coming out of the game?
Yeah, I think there is. I think, you know, if you look at where the situation we're at, you could say a lot of teams, a lot of clubs would throw in the towel, and I don't believe that we've thrown in the towel. I believe that every boy has given all they've got.
I think the average age, you mentioned boy, the average age of teams is like 22 and a half out there.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's very young. I don't know exactly what it is. And it's not only that. It's obviously how many appearances have they made between them. But they're learning. I have no issues with any of them. And it's difficult. You know, it's difficult to lose games of football consistently like we have done the last few weeks. And it just would have been nice if we scored that open goal.
Have you spoken to Nick Arzynakis?
Yeah, he's devastated. Yeah, he's absolutely. I don't think any of us can believe it. It's just one of them things that happens. It looks like he got stuck in the mud a little bit, and it's or he thought he scored before he scored. He just hasn't got contact on it. and it's one of them things. But, you know, like I said previously, that, you know, he's been really good, Nick Arch. I've been really pleased with him. There's still more to come, 100% more to come. But he has got good qualities. Like I say, he's a local lad. He's got good attributes. You know, he beats himself up a little bit, and that affects his performances. Yeah, if you look at the difference between the 20 today and Nick Arch, you know, the 20 is a very, very good player who keeps going, doesn't let anything affect him. And I think, you know, Nick Arch needs to learn that to become a better player than what he is.
Again, we're saying in these interviews, the endeavour, play will try, and just that lack of quality, and maybe that moment sums up the season in some context.
Yeah, when it happens, that's exactly what I said. Yeah, there is a little bit of lack of quality, definitely. And I was saying to the boys on the bench, when they cleared the ball, they made our defenders defend. When we cleared it, we weren't putting balls in good enough areas, and you know, they might blame the pitch, but like I said, they managed to do it. It was a difficult pitch, difficult conditions, but. You know, they're a good, strong outfit. You know, they've had a brilliant FA Cup run. The club's on a high, and we're the opposite as things stand.
Again, club's lost a bit of money this week. You're trying to bring players in. How difficult is your job at the moment? You know, 10 games to go, you're probably going to have to win 9 of them to stay up. Are you looking at that? How difficult is your job?
Well, you know, with what's going on around us, with the talkies and all that, no one's going to know what's going to happen at the end of it. So, you know, like I've said from day one, you know, I've sort of stopped looking at that. We've just got to concentrate on trying to pick up as many points as we can. And I felt Chippenham last week, we've let ourselves down in that terms. I thought the performance was very good, and we definitely deserved something out of the game. But, we were naive. We were naive, and then the Dartford game here, again, I think we deserve something. But again, we were naive, trying to win it rather than defend for the point. So we just got to keep going. That's all we can do. And, you know, the difficulty of bringing players in has always been the same at this club and, you know, and any Kent Coast club. It's very difficult to attract players. And obviously, with where we're at the minute, even more difficult. But, you know, we're giving these boys a chance. There's not many teams at this level that do. And, you know, maybe that's our downfall. But what more can we do? Do you know what I mean? We've produced some good boys. They're a credit to the club, and they give everything, and they're only going to get better. And hopefully, we can keep them here for next year, which is very important.
Is the planning for next season start now?
Yeah, I think so. But again, it's very difficult because, there's so many of the boys have agents and all that involved. And, you know, are they getting the right, advice? I'm not so sure. But, you know, that's always been the same. Like I say, I'd be really, really keen to keep the majority, especially of the local younger boys, and try and get a bit of experience from somewhere, a bit of size, and have a right go next year, no matter what league we're in.
At rock bottom of the league, I think it's safe to say you're probably going to get relegated, but I actually thought that was quite positive from Jake LeBeau. Have you seen an improvement in performance, despite, of course, no improvement in the actual results?
Yeah. It's difficult. Dover don't. I think they've lost 20 games this season. I think 19 of them have either been by one goal or two goals. One of them, 12 of them, have been by one goal. And it does show that Dover have the spells of the games that I've seen them recently. They've been on top. They just can't put the ball in the net. And it does make a difference. If they'd had a 15 goal striker, you know, somebody who, a chance falls to him, they've got to put the ball in the back of the net. Nick Arch's chance there, he's got to score. At whatever level, you've got to score, and that changes the complexion of the game. Not that I think Dover deserved anything out of it, because Maidstone are bigger, stronger, well-organised, play some good football on a pudding of a pitch. They didn't do it. But from a Dover point of view, you just can't score any goals. Defensively, well, I don't think they're too bad. There's players you can work with. And again, we mentioned that 12 games lost 1-0. If you've got somebody who can score 15 goals a season, that could make the hell of a difference. You know,
I suppose the hard thing as well is because people will look at the league table and they'll think, no, I don't want to come there. And I think Jake LeBeau's job has been a nightmare because attracting players in the position that he is in when he's taken over is going to be almost impossible for him. So it's very hard for him from that point of view. And I suppose all you can hope is that there's some positivity around the club. You know, these young players.
That's he's also fighting against that because there's no positivity, you know, at all, because people don't like the owner. They think the owner should do more. And at the end of the day, I told you that ridiculous. I told you the stat that Dover have played 141 games since COVID in the league, and how many they've won? Have a guess?
Five, six.
Well, they've won a few last season, 20. Oh, but they're going for a season here. They might not win another game for the rest of the season. What, 10 games to go? And two seasons ago, they won twice. So
people
aren't going to go and watch a team that doesn't win matches.
And so of course, the other problem is, you know, it comes out last week that the club's lost more than £100,000.
Compared to Chumkent clubs, that's a lot. Well, not a lot.
That's for later on in the script. But losing six figures and the chairman saying, oh, we can solve this, bring a friend, buy a burger, you know, that doesn't really help. And, you know, for me, the difficulty has been, I've felt for a while, there's a disconnect between the club and the community. Yeah. And also, you know, I'm sure that there was where's and why fours about this TV gantry thing. But it's happened before. Things like that happen far too often involving Dover. People,
it's embarrassing, John. It's so embarrassing.
Other clubs wanting to be able to report from the games, and they try and block that. You know, there's a club in the National League. Everyone knows who they are. If you don't, I'll give you a clue. Arsenal women play there, and they're called Boreham Bloody Wood, who've got an awful reputation because they don't let visiting media cover the games. They don't let visiting radio stations work there. I know several people that have had so many problems going to cover games at Boreham Wood. I think Nigel did, didn't he, in the FA Cup earlier this season. You know, and that puts a slight on what people think of your club. And it's the same thing with Dover. You know, I mean, it was nearly 10 years ago that I was refused entry to a Dover game as a reporter because I hadn't sent in my press pass 24 hours before the game, which was apparently a league rule, which I double checked with the league, didn't exist. It was a Parmenter rule, not Jim. But, it's one of those things where that sticks in the mind. And, you know, whenever I think of going to Crabble, I remember that was a complete arseache, and it really wound me up that day. You know, and I just think that people have an outside perception of what Dover Athletic are like. And unfortunately, things that the club do are not helping that perception, you know, and people get rightly, you know, the people don't look at Dover and think, oh, they're a really well-run, friendly club. And I think that's the massive thing. You know, you look at other clubs in a division and other clubs in the county. You take Maidstone, obviously Maidstone have had great success, but Oliver Ash is friendly, he's approachable, you know, he's calm when things come, when push comes to shove. I've been forced to stand out in the pouring rain by Dover because I wasn't allowed to take shelter in the tunnel or the stand, you know, and it's those kinds of things that just make people look and say, that's not the club for me. And I feel like, you know, there needs to be almost an amnesty of the club saying, look, we've made some mistakes in the past. We're going to be more open. We want to encourage the community to come and watch. We want to be nicer to the teams that we're playing. Treat them with respect. Treat people with the same respect that they show you, you know. Fine, if Boreham would want to come and do something, stop them from coming. But everybody else who lets Dover do whatever they want at their ground, Dover should do the same with them. And do you know what? Maidstone may have been in the wrong with what they were saying on social media. They may not have done it the right way. But ultimately, mud sticks. And there's been too much of this thrown at Dover Athletic in recent years. And I worry about what damage it's done to the club and its reputation.
Again, I cannot grumble at anything you've said there. I know people from Maidstone who didn't want to come down because it's Dover and they wanted to go. And that's not right. They've had a great time after Coventry. And, oh, I'm not going to Dover because we're treated like a second class citizen and anything. And it's got to change at Dover. I don't know how it's going to change, but it's got to change. I always say, use the thing. We may need one day. You might need a favour out of Maidstone again, mightn't you? And that, and we've had it so many times, we're too seen as too miserable as what we can do. Again, this is non-league football for this sake. Just be a little bit more open and go from there and just not be so miserable. And it breaks my heart and it breaks every single supporter's heart. And what I will say, people from Maidstone said, you know, everybody around was pleased to see them, wished them well from that point of view. So all the fans we talked to want to be seen as a friendly club. You know, we've been friendly on the pitch. We've been friendly off the pitch as well. But just improve the mentality of the club. But I don't know how it's going to change. And to be fair, this has been like this for a long time, but results dictate, oh yeah, we're doing all right, so nobody cares. But when it's going how it is at the moment, it just breaks your heart. There's no need to be like this. And I feel for Jake LeBoy. I've got every faith that Jake can do a job here. But again, I think sometimes he's swimming against the tide as well.
Absolutely. And as I said, when I was treated like a piece of subhuman scum for trying to cover a team when they played at Bournemouth, we're in Division 6 South here, lads, not the Premier League. And I think that's what you've got to take with it. Welling United were in action on Tuesday night. They were beaten 1-0 at Farnborough and it ended 2-2 between Maidstone and Bath at the Gallagher. New contract for George Adekobi as well, taking him through to 2026. I think that's richly deserved on the season that they've had so far and still in and around the playoff places. And I suppose, were you impressed by them on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm always very... Jake LeBoy said, yeah, Matt Rush, lovely player. Lovely player. Never gives up. Made a lot of change from the side of the cup. Mo Fowle comes in. He's a good player at that level. Just they're well organised. They know their jobs. Well drilled. And on a putting of a pitch, they played some nice football. You always felt they're in gear two. And if Dover had equalised when they should have done, you think they'd have gone up a different level anyway. And from there, but yeah, they looked a good side. Side full of confidence as well. The results have been a little bit iffy in the league. It's 1-6, I think, in the league now. But yeah, they've got enough quality. And the quality coming in who are cup tied will be absolutely crucial for them. Rush and Fowle. To me, that's a partnership. Dooku as well. That's a partnership, 20, 25 goals a season between them. So, and that could be crucial. I'm there on Saturday when they play St Albans and just doing my homework on that, John. That's a big game as well. So, Mason have got some big, they've got Chelmsford again on Tuesday, I think it is. So they've got some big games, Maidstone. It's all been caught up, their home games now and against their away games. So I think the next couple of days that they know where they are. Their away form hasn't been good. That was the first win away since November. But big game against St Albans on Saturday if they want to get in those playoffs. So it looks like, you know, maybe it's quite tight up there. The Maidstone, no, back-to-back wins on Saturday and Tuesday against Chelmsford would give them a really good sounding and ahead of that big game against Dartford. So could be a pivotal week, I think, for Maidstone coming up, really.
Absolutely. They're the only team at home on Saturday, as Matt's just said, against St Albans, as the rest of our teams are all heading west. Tonbridge Angels are only going to Hampshire, I suppose, for a trip to Havant and Waterlooville. But Dover are going to Weston-super-Mare. Welling go to the leaders, Yeovil. As you've already heard, Dartford are at Torquay. Angels then go to Averley on Monday night. And on Tuesday, Dartford are at Braintree. Dover make the trip to the Sunshine Coast to face Eastbourne Borough. Welling go to Hampton and Richmond. While, as Matt has also said, the Stones host second place Chelmsford. And Chelmsford have got a week, Matt, because I don't know if you know what's going on with them this weekend.
No, I don't.
So because Truro had moved to Taunton and Taunton's pitch is a mess. Yeah. So Truro have now started playing their games at Gloucester, which is, you know, a million miles away from Truro. And they played Taunton there on Saturday. This weekend, Gloucester are also at home. So Gloucester are playing at 3 o'clock. And then at 7:30 on Saturday evening, it's Truro against Chelmsford City.
I bet Chelmsford are not particularly chuffed with that. But
if you're a Chelmsford fan and you want to get the train home, if you're a Chelmsford fan and you want to get the train home, you'll be leaving Gloucester at about 10 o'clock. And you know what? I've not looked into it, but I'm guessing the options are probably going to be limited for those Chelmsford supporters. And I think that's it's just astonishing that the league have let it come to this. They should never, ever have sanctioned Truro playing at Taunton in the first place. There's got to be other places down in the southwest with a 3G pitch that would hold up to playing, to having Truro games on it as well. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Again, don't start me on them putting the begging bowls out. Surely they should be accept. Right, we'll play. Well, surely Torquay, you've truly played at Torquay before. Get them playing there. Surely they want the money.
I know. It's insane.
Talking about your Eastbourne boys as well, when Dover go there for the 25-pointer, they've had a stinker with all that money they've got, haven't they? Big manager in. What's the consensus down that way?
Well, I still see people saying on social media, trying to be positive and everything like that. But I've been keeping closely how long how the crowds are going. I mean, I don't know if I think I mentioned this before, but they brought in a half-witted policy this season whereby tickets are £5 cheaper if you buy them in advance. I mean, that's a massive rise to play if you just want to turn up on the day. So, you know, people who want to turn up on the day have probably gone down a lot in people's estimations. And you know, I just think that they did, when these new owners came in last year, they did so much wrong. They changed the badge, changed the colours of the kit, sacked a popular manager in the space of about a week. And I know there's also been some issues about the clubhouse and things like that. And it's shocking what's happened to them. Absolutely shocking. And
I'm sure their budget must be probably triple what Dover's are when they play on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've got some names, and they've had some names that have moved on as well. And, you know, they've still had players going on up to higher levels. They've got good contacts. They've got players coming in from lower levels. It's just been awful for them. I'm not going on Tuesday, mate. I don't think you'll be either.
No, I'm busy.
No, but I haven't been there all season, actually. I may do if they. I think they've still got a couple of Kent teams to play. But do you know what? It's really sad, actually, because, you know, Eastbourne is a town with more than 100,000 people. It can easily support a Step 2 team. But unfortunately, what's happened there this season is just not the way to do it. I've also just looked up, mate. It's 196 miles from Gloucester to Truro.
That's like what Dave were probably playing at Coventry, isn't it? Probably.
Pretty much, yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's move on. In the National League, there was no manager of the month curse for Danny Searle as Ebbsfleet continued their excellent recent form with a 2-1 over Rochdale, while Bromley beat Halifax 2-0 on Saturday before a 0-0 draw at Oldham on Tuesday night. There's no game for Fleet this weekend, but Bromley are in FA Trophy action as they host Barnet. A big tie, that one. Mm. It's third against second in the National League. And both sides, I think, if they win that, will be thinking it's our trophy to lose.
Yeah. Saw Barnet in the previous round. I thought they were great against Welling. Really good. So Bromley's form's not, again, I still think their form, they don't lose many, but they haven't been winning money much recently. So
it's hard, isn't it? Because when you've got runaway leaders who are on the brink of winning, even though they got a shoeing at Dorking on Saturday. But, you know, when you've got runaway leaders and you're second and third and you know, you're pretty much set in that place, it must be hard to keep the motivation going every week.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit, and the craziness of that league. Those four wins on the bounce, I think Ebbsfleet have had. If they hadn't had that, they would be absolutely screwed, wouldn't they? So,
absolutely.
Changing the manager.
What a decision.
What a decision. Damien, if you're listening to the show, pat yourself on the back, mate, because that was an amazing decision in such a tight league. And they'll be gutted they're not playing this week, I expect, Ebbsfleet to carry on that fine form, really. So, phenomenal. For the phenomenal decision. Great job that Dennis Catrieve did, but clearly it wasn't working for him. But Danny Sale's got a real tune out of this squad. So, delighted for them. Shame Woking have won back-to-back, though, as well.
The thing is it's so tight. Two wins can make all the difference down there, can't they? It's absolute madness. What a great league to be involved in, though.
Yeah. It's crazy. For Bromley, I think maybe for Barnet and Bromley, the trophy is going to be a big competition, because you want to keep that intensity in your gameplay before you go into the playoffs. So important, I think, should be an important game, probably in front of a big crowd there. So should be a good game, that one.
Yeah, both teams are in action on Tuesday night as well. Bromley go to Wealdstone and Ebbsfleet go to Aldershot. Fancy their manager might be up for that one. Just a rough idea. Into the Isthmian League now, and the South East Division's unbeaten record, mental. The only unbeaten record, is gone after an astonishing afternoon for Cray Valley against Three Bridges. Cray Valley fought back from 2-1 down to lead 4-2, and as you pegged back, the equaliser in the 94th minute, and then the winner coming 3 minutes later. Ramsgate took advantage to go back to top spot with a 4-0 win over Rashford. I'm sure there's still twists and turns to come. What a title race this is, especially with in-form Sittingbourne 7 points behind the Millers after their 2-0 win at East Grinstead. It's so tight up there, isn't it?
It was. I didn't know. I knew the Cray was 4-4 when I think of it. And then I think I checked the next morning. I thought, blimey, out 5-4. And Kev Barham, and spoke to his wife, and he said he was dancing around his living room when he got home after that. That shows what it is. So, first of all, Cray, 26 game unbeaten runs since the start of the season. Unbelievable achievement. So we're not taking anything away from that. But 4-3 up in the 94th minute and losing 5-4. Oh, I wouldn't have liked to be in the dressing room with Steve McKim involved. But and they were 4-2 up, weren't they? Blimey. 4-2 up. Oh, yeah. I think you've got to bounce back now. Got to bounce back. And bizarrely, it could be the home form is going to cost them the title, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that we've said that all along, Craig Bradley's home form hasn't been the best. Away form is phenomenal. And to lose that game from that, you know, with a tranche of late goals, it's a hard one to take. And it will be interesting to see how they bounce back from that. It's the first league defeat of the season. That's a hard one to take.
The dressing room would have been absolutely crestfallen, I would have thought, especially when they see the Rams and the opposite of Ramsgate when they see it come in. So we said there'd be twists and turns, John, and I'm sure there will be again.
Absolutely. Elsewhere on Saturday, Hythe beat Herne Bay 2-1, Beckenham and a 1-1 draw at Lancing, and Seven Oaks lost 1-0 at home to Broadbridge Heath. This weekend, Ashford host Sittingbourne. It's bottom against top as Beckenham meet Ramsgate. Second bottom against second top as Erith and Belvedere host Cray Valley. High the home to Horndean. Phoenix Sports host Merston. It's Sheppey United against Seven Oaks. And Herne Bay goes to Three Bridges. Seven Oaks and Broadbridge Heath then meet for the second time in 10 days on Tuesday night, while Sheppey go to Burgess Hill. And it's Hythe against Beckenham. In the Isthmian League Premier Division, only four games survived on Saturday, and two of them ended in defeats for Kent sides. Chatham going down 2-0 at Carshalton. Margate losing 3-1 at home to Horsham, with losses twice as big as Dover's, and dropping back into the bottom four after Chesnut's midweek win. Another bleak week for Margate. This weekend, they head to Hashtag United. Chatham at home to Concord Rangers and Folkestone host Kingstonian. And on Tuesday, Gate try for about the fifth time to go to Chesnut. A massive game at the foot of the table for Cray Wanderers host Potters Bar on Wednesday. There is also a Velocity Cup semi-final on Tuesday night. Chatham take on Ashford for a spot in the final. That brings you all up to date. What a massive week that's been, Matt. Despite the fact that a lot of games were off, there's so much going on, isn't there?
Yeah. Margate losing 200, well, double what David did, wasn't it? 260,000?
Yeah, 260, interesting. Yeah.
I don't know if how much as that's gone on the ground. I haven't heard if they've started digging yet or anything like that. Nothing been on social media. The results, with Margate in the relegation zone. Not a good week for a Margate supporter. That big win they had the previous week, lost from there. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing from a Margate point of view. So, still quite tight at the bottom as well. Folkestone are not out of it yet, but Margate needs to pick up some points. So, yeah, a little bit of doom and gloom still at Hartsdown Park. 260,000 seems to be a lot of money, John, and I didn't think there was much money swilling around at Hartsdown Park.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, you see these Premier League teams reporting 100 million losses. Yeah. But they can swallow that up a lot easier than a club in step three, possibly heading into step four, can swallow up £250,000. Yeah. And, you know, it's a different situation from Dover. But also, there have been so many false dawns at Margate and so many near misses and so many times that things have just been, you know, and I feel like also there's that disconnect between the club and the community. And when you've got your rivals a few miles down the road, absolutely flying and looking like they're going to be promoted and replace you in the division, it's a hard sell at Margate at the moment. And you kind of worry for them. And you know, I see supporters on Facebook saying this team can't compete at the level below. And Margate would be a massive club in the Isthmian League South East if they were to drop into it. So, you know, they need something from somewhere. You know, there's some great people at the club, friend of the show, Ryan Day, of course. But they need to just find some stability and all these things. Again, it's the perception, isn't it? People look at it and think, well, they're near the bottom of the table. They've lost £250,000. Doesn't look good there. I don't think I'll go there. I'll go to Ramsgate instead.
Yeah, I think it's very, very concerning. And until they can get that stand up just to bring something back to the fans, a bit of positivity around the club, I think they need to get that as much as they can. And avoid relegation, because that will be an absolute disaster for the club. A, missing out on a big crowd at home as well against Ramsgate, and the rivalry, the intensity that would bring to the club, which may galvanise some of the supporters. Seeing Ramsgate ahead of them in the division would be a real kick in the teeth for them.
Do you know what? The season will start to go wrong when they couldn't make time to play Ramsgate in that pre-season friendly that they play every season. It's never really got any better than that.
So, again, it seems to be the norm. You know, Maidstone are going to make a bit of money, aren't they, from the cup run? I think they didn't lose too much as well, I think, from their things this year. But clearly, John, our dream of running a non-league club, we would need very, very deep pockets, wouldn't we?
much deeper than I've currently got, trust me. I don't know if you've been keeping up with this evening's action in the Championship, but if you do get the chance, anybody, a West Brom defender has made one of the saves of the season. And even better, he got away with it. It wasn't even a penalty. But basically, from the first glance, it looked like the keeper's tipped it over. The second glance, it looks like, oh, maybe the defender got his head on it. When you actually watch the replays, he's palmed it over the top. Fantastic effort.
VAR, who needs that? But the Championship, absolutely. That's the Championship, another fantastic league. About 45 teams. I think 19 teams can go down as well.
It's Rotherham and two others. But we were talking about that in the office last night. And then I said, oh, have you seen the National League? And someone looked at it. They were like, oh, my God. I was like, yeah, it's been like that for weeks. It's great. The season is really heating up. We've got a massive game for Deal this weekend. But every game now pretty much is going to have something riding on it, especially those at the top and the bottom of the tables. You know, there's still every division seems to have a Kent club involved either at the top or the bottom, and it's tight. You know, even you look at the bottom of the scaffold, it's tight. You look at the bottom of the East Mini Premier Division, it's tight. Then you've got Chatham are in the mix for going for the playoffs. We've got a few teams that are obviously floundering in mid-table, but it's just... This has been one of the most amazing seasons that we've had since we've been doing this podcast, without a shadow of a doubt, with Cray Valley and Ramsgate's FA Cup runs, Maidstone then going even better and all the way. Just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And do you know what? We've still got, 2 months to go of this, and there's going to be so much content coming your way over the next 2 months on this show, isn't there?
Yeah. And again, if you want your club in or whatever you want to hear from us, try and get involved. But if there's a story in the week, we'll try and get it on the Kent non-league podcast. So this is where it gets exciting now. So it builds up to a crescendo soon, John. So, and
absolutely. Will it end at Wembley? I'm at a game on Saturday. I haven't quite decided where yet, but I think I know where I'm going to go.
Lincoln United.
A bit far, a bit far. But I must admit, I was thinking, God, I wonder if I could make it to Falmouth, because Falmouth is a great place. And my favourite brewery happened to be based there. So if that would happen in the semi-final, you know, never know. But we shall see what happens over that. So you've not even been watching anything on the telly then, because you've been busy watching
I've
other people.
I finished the Sunderland Till I Die documentary.
Excellent, good.
Well, it's 2 years old, so I don't know what the point of doing it was, to be honest. So,
got you.
And what's anything else? No, Gladiators, which is
of course
because the kids. Well, I quite like it, but it's just a bit wishy washy.
I'd like to see Matt Gerrard take on the Gauntlet and come back and tell me it's wishy washy.
Is that the Gauntlet? That's far too easy. The Gauntlet.
Well, I'm going to get you signed up.
Far too easy for these bigger people.
Yeah.
It's okay, and again, I don't think it works with Bradley Walsh and his son either.
Just like this podcast won't work when you bin me off and get one of your daughters in.
Exactly, yeah. So that it works like that. So apart from that, since I've got home from work at R4, I've been stuck in the office doing various bits. So I haven't actually seen my wife today, so we haven't had time.
Oh, what a day for Mrs. Gerrard.
Yeah, and I'm sure she's probably in bed now as well. So no, I need to find something new to watch. So
that's I tried to watch two dramas over the weekend. One of them I got through one episode, and one of them I got through about half. And I thought, nope, not fancying either of them. So you know, it's always just trying to find things that are gonna.
But I think it's this time of the year. There's nothing on. So there's nothing. But that thing, did you watch the Irish police drama?
Oh yeah, I know the one. I don't think I watched it. No, I tried to watch that and couldn't get into it.
No, that's a good. That was last year. I think the new series of that's coming soon. So
there we go.
Get onto that from there. Yeah.
Okay. Good luck. Right. Well, we'll leave it there then, because we've been prattled on for far too long. There too.
Also, John, before we look, Underfarm Lincoln, you know, I don't know if Lincoln City are at home. Underfarm, mate, you remember that white guy we met when Lincoln played Welling in the Trophy?
Oh, you liked him a lot, didn't you?
Oh God. Yeah.
Are you still in touch? Have you not become Pen friends?
No, he was a tall, wasn't he? You knew a bit of that.
Lincoln, so never liked away Lincoln from then. Saturday. So Lincoln are away on Saturday at Barnsley.
Yeah, so he could be there, couldn't he? Well,
absolutely. I did say to Kingy, I said, I know lots of good places to go out in Lincoln. He said, well, you know, he said, we did consider if we could stay Saturday, but then we got a game straight away on Tuesday. So unfortunately, all the many many hosteries that I have frequented in Lincoln over the years will not be visited by Deal Town this weekend. So a shame. But yeah, anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's show. Thanks to all three of our guests for their time. Massive, massive good luck to Deal Town this weekend and all of our other teams as we go on. I will just get the final scores from those Skiffle games tonight before I go very quickly. It did finish Lidd Town 0, Corinthian 3, Faversham Strike Force 1, Staplehurst Monarchs 3, FC Olmsted got two goals to win 3-1 against Forest Hill Park, and it did end Lewisham 0, Croydon 1.
What about the 1884 FA Cup semi-finalists?
Yeah, they won 2-0. The Honourable Artillery Company, they were on course for their second ever best cup achievement in the Surrey Cup. but yeah, thank you everybody for listening to this week's show. You can find us on Twitter at Kent NL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at search for Kent Only Podcast. There's also the group Kent Non-League Football Chat. Do get involved there and tell us what's going on at your clubs. You can find us as well on Threads and Instagram at Kent Non-League Podcast. I'm at JohnPips81. Matt is at Matthew_Gerard. I hope the budget was great fun for you all. I could tell you they were going to do something about petrol because the price has been creeping up rapidly over the last couple of weeks. So unsurprisingly, oh, we're not going to do anything with the petrol. No, it just keeps going up while we willfully ignore it. Anyway, I hope you all had a good week. Enjoyed this week's show. Have a lovely weekend. Come on, Deal. And we'll speak to you all next week on the Kent Only Podcast.
I think you can look at the league table and work it all out on the trip to Lincoln, even though you probably got it all up in your noggin anyway.